So today we read from Srimad Bhagavatam. We are back on Canto 1, Chapter 1, text. Which text is on board? 6. Text 6. And this is the questions by the sages. And also today is the disappearance day of Narottam Das Thakur. So we will commemorate some of his pastimes. And in this way we'll get a little bit of mercy from Srila Narottam Das Thakur Ki Jai. So what I'll do, because we only have a short time, I will read the verse myself, this one, without any response, and then we'll say a little something on this verse and then speak on Narottam Das Thakur. Translation with purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The sages said, "Respected Sudha Goswami, you are completely free from all vice. You are well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and in the histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them. A Goswami, or the bona fide representative of Srila Vyasadeva, must be free from all kinds of vices. The four major vices of Kali Yuga are 1. You can help me on this. You know, the four regulative principles. Yeah? 2. Gambling. 3. Intoxication. And the 4. Illicit sex. Yeah, Prabhupada says here, illicit connection with women, animal slaughter, intoxication, speculative gambling of all sorts. A Goswami must be free from all these vices before he can dare sit on the Vyasasan. No one should be allowed to sit on the Vyasasan who is not spotless in the character and who is not freed from the above-mentioned vices. He not only should be free from all such vices, but must they also be well-versed in all revealed scriptures or in the Vedas. The Puranas are also parts of the Vedas, and histories like the Mahabharata or Ramayana are also parts of the Vedas. The Acharya or the Goswami must be well acquainted with all these literatures to hear and explain them is more important than reading them. One can assimilate the knowledge of the revealed scriptures only by hearing and explaining. Hearing is called Shravanam, and explaining is called Kirtanam. The two processes of Shravanam and Kirtanam are of primary importance to progressive spiritual life. Only one who has properly grasped the transcendental knowledge from the right source by submissive hearing can properly explain the subject. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Malitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. Om Vishnu Padaya Vishnu Vistava Laishmata. The sages said, "Respected Sudha Goswami, you are completely free from all vices. You are well versed in all the scriptures, famous for religious life, and in the Puranas and histories as well. For you have gone through them under proper guidance and have also explained them." This This morning I thought we were still on the 10th canto. I think we started the first canto maybe a week ago or something. And I asked Govinda Prabhu if we are still on the 10th canto. So I didn't really prepared for this. I just had a glance on the life of Narottama Das Thakur, which we'll speak a little bit later on. But this verse that Srila Prabhupada is sharing with us today, it's very interesting. Goswami means one who has mastered the senses. One who can control, one who has the ability of controlling the senses. If someone cannot control the senses, then he cannot really represent the grace of God. It's impossible. Such a person would be, Srila Prabhupada calls him an imposter, a charlatan. And furthermore, it's said that he can also shouldn't really be sitting on a Vyasasan talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and histories and of the Vedas. So I may wonder, what am I doing here? Because I'm not a Goswami myself. But nevertheless, I follow the regular principles that Srila Prabhupada has actually stated in this purport. And so therefore, by the mercy of the devotees and the Vaishnavas, I can probably say a little something. The Vedas are very pure subject. And one, to represent the Vedas means representing Srila Vyasadeva. Has to be pure. Has to be spotless. And the basic control should be that he should not engage, as Srila Prabhupada says here, in these major vices of Kali Yuga, which are very prominent in the behavior of all the human society surrounding us. One is illicit connection with women, animal slaughter, intoxication, speculative gambling, and I think there's one missing, isn't there? It's illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and speculative gambling. Yes, that's all the four of them. All of them very contaminating to the senses. When a living entity they engage in these activities, then dusparena nalina cha, the senses are never satisfied. They want more and more and more, and it can never reach the real deep satisfaction. So that means you become contaminated by this. It becomes a vices. That's why they're called vices. Means it's a repeated behavior. You wonder why people, they do these things again and again and again and again. It's because they're imprisoned by it. They're actually conditioned. They cannot live, even to the point that they cannot live without breaking these principles. Yesterday on book distribution, I met a very nice couple. They took the Gita And they were just about to give a donation, and then I said, here, I have a vegetarian cookbook as well. And then the girlfriend said, actually, maybe it's not for us. So he took the Bhagavad Gita from the hands of the boyfriend and gave it back to me, because we like meat, she said. I like meat. I cannot give up meat. So we don't want to be converted into vegetarian. So I didn't know what to say, and it was really sad, because the boy really wanted. You know, sometimes you meet a couple, and it's very difficult to give a book to a couple, because not very often they are on the same page. You know, either the husband is favorable, or the other partner is not favorable, or the wife is favorable and the husband is not favorable. And it struck me, you know, that so young, and she said, I cannot give up meat. You know, it's something that we cannot give up. I like my meat, she said. So similarly, you find people who are accustomed, who are very much indulging in gambling all their lives, like, for example, this gentleman who killed so many innocent people in Las Vegas recently, just last week. It was the result of gambling. He lost everything, and the mind went crazy. See, by breaking these principles, it will backfire. The vices becomes, at some point, madness, pramatta. Any vices, just like if someone is indulging sex life from a young age, and he experience sex with the opposite sex for so many years, they comes to the point that you want something different, and they become attracted to children. I mean, I have a friend of mine who is, it's not a friend of mine, it's my brother-in-law, the brother of my wife. He he's got a PhD on social welfare for children, and how to prevent the child abuse. And he was one of his theory, because he teaches social workers, that has been discovered by psychiatrists, psychologists, that people, they become a pedophile because excessive sex. So, pramatta, madness. Same thing with meat. You eat meat, and then you know you want something different and something different. And people eat frogs with chips in France. I just went for some meetings there, and they have it on a menu in a restaurant. Many restaurants. The legs of a frogs with chips. You know, just like you have fish and chips and you have chicken and chips, whatever. And they have a speciality of alligator as a dessert with alligator pie. Some kind of something from the alligators imported from Florida. Alligator pie. So I was thinking to myself, it's amazing how things, they become very Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. So Intoxication is same thing. A drug addict, he starts with a little cigarettes, a young man, and then he wants experience being in bad association. He wants experience some dope, and then he wants experience some, I don't know what it comes next, a crack or whatever they call it. And then cocaine. Okay, let's try a little bit of heroin. And he's always, let's try it. Let's check into it. You know, let's see what is the effect. In the beginning is like that. We are all curious to explore the wonders of this material energy. Let's try it out. Let's see. And then, you know, there is a little pleasure to the senses. That's how it is. The senses, they become attracted to the sense object. There's a very famous verse in the Bhagavatam. Devahuti, she asked very, very beautiful question to Kapiladev on how the living entities, they become so entangled with the sense object, with this material energy. If you remember, I will share with you. Purusham prakritim brahma navimunchati karichit ananyavot pravastyaccha nityatvad anayo prabhu nityatvad. My dear Purusha, my dear Brahman, prakritim brahman, my dear Brahman, what is this phenomenon that the living entities, they become so entangled with the sense object? And nityatvardhanayo prabho, for millions of lives they become entangled. It appears to be almost eternally, because eternally we are, for millions of lives, you're doing the same thing. Exactly the same thing what we did in previous lives. Breaking these regularity principles, and we call it sense gratification. And Srila Prabhupada in that purport of the third canto, he says that actually this should be the question of the disciple. He should ask his guru, How I became entangled in this situation, and what is the way to get out of it? That's the same question of Sanatana Goswami. I'm suffering. I don't know why am I suffering when you approach the Lord Chaitanya. And how can I become free from suffering? So, Kapiladev, Kapila Muni, he... he gave a very nice answer. Gyanina drishta tattvena varegena baliyasat tapo yuktena yogena trivrenatma samadina. It says that gyanina drishta tattvena, by the help of gyan, drishta tattvena, then you will have the darshan of the tattva, of the truth. With the help of knowledge, we can actually separate the sense and the sense object, and we can become Goswami. And with the help of Jnanina Drishtadattvena Vairagyena Baliyasat, with the renunciation, gradual renunciation from the sense object, Baliyasat, but with force. We have to actually, by force, drag the senses back from the sense object. In other words, we have to separate ourselves from these vices by force. And with the help of yoga, tapasya, Vairagena Balyasa Tapo Yuktena Yogena Trivrenatma Samadhina. In this way, with the help of these three things, we can actually achieve Samadhi. Samadhi, what is Samadhi? Samadhi means freedom from vices. You become peaceful. So, those are a little insights of this verse, speaking about Goswami. I will dovetail the sequence of this verse to talk about a great personality like Narottama Das Thakur. He was born Goswami, Brahmachari, all his life. Narottama Das Thakur, he was not just a Goswami, but he had all the signs of Mahapurush. Mahapurush means all the signs of a Uttamadhikari. He had beautiful eyes. He had he had a very thin neck. He had large ears. These are all the signs of a great personality. Long arms, very small hands. He had a very beautiful body with very small feet and deep navel, lotus mouth. And he's described that he resembled the features of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you look in the Panchatattva here, the gentleman in the middle, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Narottama Das Thakur, he looked like him. It was so purifying just to have look at him, just to have a darshan of him. He was born with no interest into the material energy. He was not attracted to the material energy at all. And he was born by the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How? It is said, if you read in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are two main preaching expansions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Two purposes why he appeared, as we all know, and also he brought two sets of personality that they represent his preaching mission. The first purpose that he invited in this world was the six Goswami. The six Goswami, they represent the writing potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wanted them to come to write, to speak out. Because if you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu, he didn't write much. Only eight Shishastaka. That's the only writing that he left behind. But all his work was done through his devotees. So the six Goswamis, they represented the writing potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the other purpose, the other potency, the secondary potency of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the advent of the another three personalities. And they represented the distribution potency of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you read in the pastimes of one of the associates of Narottama Das Thakur. And you know who are those three personalities? Srinivas, Narottama Das Thakur, and Shyamananda. So those three, they were actually born by the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. to distribute the literatures of the Six Goswami. We have all these books. We have the commentary of the Six Goswamis, Nectar of Devotion, Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instructions. These are all the teachings, the essence for the beginner devotee, the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But they were actually manifested through the hands of the Six Goswami. That's why Mahaprabhu, he told each one of them, you go to Vrindavan, stay there and write books. Then he told another one, you go to Vrindavan, stay there and discover my, birth, my pastime, the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So because the Six Goswami, they represent the internal knowledge of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the literature potency. And so Narottam Das Thakur was born in Bangladesh. Krishnananda was his father and Narayani his mother. And when he was born, was very, very depressed, very sad, because he just missed the Lord of his heart, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born actually to search for someone, and that was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then he grew up under the care of the Six Goswamis. It is said that he was born, his father was a king. Similar kind of karma like Raghunath Das Goswami. You could see the associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were not just mendicants, not just ordinary commoners. He had a very insignificant people becoming devotees, but he also had the other extreme, very significant people to become devotees. Maharaj Patraparutra, he had Ramananda Roy, Sanatana Goswami, who were government ministers. Narottama Das Thakur was born as the son of a king, Raghunath Das Goswami. But you could see they all took the path of the Mahajans. They followed the path of renunciation, the path of Goswami. And Narottama Das Thakur, when he grew up, he was actually the first one of all the Vaishnavas to start the Gopurnim festival. You know, we enjoy the Gopurnim festival every year. It was Narottama Das Thakur who organized the very first, even though it was after 50 years that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went away. But there was no Gopurnim festival. People, they would talk about Mahaprabhu on his birthday, but there was no festival. He organized the very first one, and it was in Kittery. So he also organized and started book distribution party. So we have the activity of book distribution all around the world. He was the catalyst person, organized the party of himself, Shyamananda, and Srinivas. So, and they would take the teachings of the Six Goswami and preach all over India. So when he was born, he had this dream. This dream that Lord Nityananda went to him and said, you go and bathe into the Ganges and you will find the person you're looking for. So as a child he did, he went to the Ganges and Mother Ganga personally appeared, the personification, and she offered obeisances to this little boy. And the body of Narottama Das Thakur from gold, because he had a goldish complexion, like Mahaprabhu, it became like milk, very pure milk. and then it was there that he saw that he had the darshan of Sriman Mahaprabhu. And Mahaprabhu entered in the form of Prema Bhakti. Then that's how he achieved the Krishna Prema, such a young age, entered in his body. And it's very interesting the way he passed away on this day. Today is the day that he departed from this world. He went to the same place where he baited, and he offered obeisances to the banyan tree, the tree where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit down and meditate on the Ganges. And it was there that before he passed away, feeling separation from all the other Vaishnavas, it was there that he came up with a beautiful song, and it was actually his last song, Jayanilo Premadana, Karuna Prachu, Heino Prabhu. So he wrote that song, and then he entered into the Ganges again, and his body became liquid prema, like milk, liquid prema, merged with the Ganges. It was a great inspirator. I've always been inspired by this boy's life. His mission was just to do what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted him to do. He organized the festivals with Harinam, Sankirtan, and talking about Mahaprabhu, and distribution of prasadam, distribution of books. So, as we know, ISKCON is in three aspects. The missionary work is book distribution, prasad distribution, and holy name distribution. So all those who have taste for book distribution, all those who have the taste for Harinam, like Govinda Prabhu, all those who have taste for prasad distribution, like Parashuram and a few others, you can say when someone has a taste for something, he's actually persistent, consistent, and insistent in that service. It's it becomes vices. We were talking about vices. When your vice becomes your loving service, that's when you consider to be fortunate. Jayadeva Prabhu, he's got a vices of dovetailing his singing for Krishna. To sing. He loves singing. It's his bhava. So that's a vice, very good vice. That's why when we dovetail our habit, there's a say, just like Prabhupada says, someone who likes sex life, for example, just get married. Have children. Dovetail your vice into procreating children. Have 100 children. Then they becomes devotional service. Do it for Krishna. Intoxication. Become intoxicated with the holy name. Gambling. Gamble by discussing, doing things about Krishna. Discuss about Krishna. So it's we have to make our activity a vice for Krishna. Just repeat the same thing again and again and again. Distribute books every day for Krishna. That becomes, when you do something all the time, then it becomes, you become attached to it. Isn't it? It becomes a habit. Just like, you know, I have one of my niece. She didn't like piano, but my brother wanted her to play piano, to learn piano. Now she grew up with the piano. She loves it. She's always playing. It becomes a vice, habit. So this is Krishna consciousness. So Narottama Das Thakur was a great personality, Manjari, assistant of Srimati Radharani from the spiritual world, Chamakka Manjari, a name that is not very familiar to us, Chamakka Manjari. And her service is to always bring pleasure to the divine couple, but especially to Srimati Radharani. Many of the Manjaris, they're actually not very interested to have any contact with Krishna. The gopis, they do, Astasakis, but the Manjaris, their focus, their seva is actually concentrated on Srimati Radharani. Therefore, they are the servant of Krishna. And we follow the mood of the Manjaris. So we close here, and I went 5 minutes over. Thank you very much. And maybe we could take one question or two. There's any questions?